shifting healthcare is not going to happen overnight. But the more we individually make our own understanding of ourselves and we can bring that into the table, I feel hopeful for healthcare. And that's what we have to remember. It is about connection and understanding and less judgment. But it is okay to be angry at the system. I've been angry at the system.
Hey, fellow nurses, welcome to the best place for you to learn all about nurse coaching. I'm Heather.
And I'm Peter. We're co-founders of the Nurse Coach Collective, where we've helped thousands of nurses find more freedom and fulfillment by training them to become board-certified nurse coaches.
If you want to help your patients prevent, treat, and reverse disease through holistic lifestyle coaching.
If you want something more from your nursing practice, then head on over to nursecoachcollective.com.
Together, we're transforming healthcare one conversation at a time. But for now, let's jump into today's episode.
Hello, nurses, nurse coaches. Welcome back to the Nurse Coach Collective podcast. I am your host, Heather. If you have ever felt burnt out, most of us as nurses at some point in our career, and if you're feeling ready to reclaim a sovereignty of both your nursing practice and your life, or maybe you've been craving a way to practice nursing that allows deeper connection with those you serve, and I promise you, you are going to love today's episode because joining me today for a second time is Sally Davidson, who is a conscious leadership coach, a board certified nurse coach, a trauma-informed breathwork facilitator, and an energy worker. As the founder of Rooted Soul, she creates safe embodied spaces for women, leaders, visionaries, and entrepreneurs to reconnect with their authentic selves, moving beyond the masks of performance and the hustle to lead from a place of truth and flow and embodiment. Through her one-on-one coaching, her group masterminds, her retreats, and somatic writing immersions, Sally helps women to heal at the root, to release visibility blocks, and create abundant lives and businesses that they love, grounded in clarity, confidence, and connection. All of that sounds absolutely amazing to me. Sally, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Heather. Yeah, that sounds like, I was like, oh, is that me?
It sounds like you're a pretty rad lady.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be back.
It was a while ago that we had you here on the podcast, and I remember ending that episode and falling asleep that night feeling like, oh, I feel like we just scratched the surface. And I don't know what it was. Maybe I was like feeling a little bit hesitant or afraid to ask some of the deeper questions and admit that I didn't know that much at the time about energy work and breath work, right? But I just have this vivid memory of being like, I think we could have gone a lot deeper with Sally today. So I'm really excited to have a second chance, as well as catching up on what you've been up to for the last year. Your nursing practice has gone through quite the evolution, one that you coined as like this journey from burnout to stepping into the becoming of a conscious leader. What does that mean exactly?
I think I talked about this last time, but I feel like, you know, when I left my practice, and I see this a lot in the nurse coaching world, right? We're running away from something in the burnout of the nurse at the bedside, or in my case, as a director of nursing, critical care, and all of that I did. And then we go into this whole experience, which we don't know is going to be an experience of like connecting back to ourselves. And to me, as this burnout, which I blamed all on nursing and healthcare, which now I can look back and say, yeah, that's a piece of it. But how I have evolved into this conscious embodied leader, whether it's leading in my business or whether I was leading still in the hospital or whether I'm leading my life, it's about being more embodied in what I believe in and how I want to lead in the world. Whether that is in a way of like running a nonprofit or you're running your business or you're leading your people at work or you're leading your family, it's about doing it from the heart space versus this hustle mentality that we've been brought up with. I've definitely been brought up with. Of like, do more so you get more, you achieve more. We bring that into our coaching practices. And that's a whole nother episode probably. We bring that in, that mentality, if we don't break the cycles. And so I feel as if in this, especially in the last year for me, even thinking of rebranding into this conscious embodied leader, because I actually really feel it now. Like, yeah, I can talk about this because I am more embodied in what I believe in. And That doesn't mean I'm right, but I'm more open and curious about listening more than doing.
Yeah, that's such an interesting way of describing that, and a super poignant piece that, like, if we don't catch ourselves and retrain ourselves out of that cycle, it'll follow us anywhere. The old saying of wherever you are, there you'll be, but also, like, wherever we are, our stuff is that we bring with us. Those mindsets we get trapped in, the hustle, the loop, the go-go, the do more. And if that is the thing that ultimately is burning us out, then that burnout will follow us no matter whether we're jumping ship and leaving the hospital and doing this thing that sounds amazing on paper, but then in reality, if we're still the same person having that same energy, you're totally right. And then it follows us there.
And I really came to this understanding, like really this understanding and this aha moment. You know, we have these aha moments. And I was in doing a journaling exercise and a somatic journaling exercise where I had done some breath work and done some somatic work and movement in my body and then did this journaling exercise. And I'm a very resistant person. So I was resistant to the journaling. Not that I haven't journaled in the past, but I was resistant in that moment of like journaling. And it was interesting because I had this beautiful aha moment that came to me. Like, I moved as a young as a middle schooler. I moved because my family was having issues, right? And this is where my roots, my childhood stuff comes into play into my leadership, right? And I had this moment of thinking, like, we moved geographically to get away from what was happening in my family and at that point. And I was at that age. But the reality is, and I'd never thought about this before, but everything followed us because we didn't do anything. My parents didn't have the emotional intelligence to do anything to change. So everything that we were experiencing there just followed us. I was putting that into like what we're doing in our lives, in our nursing careers. We're blaming healthcare. And yes, healthcare, there are things that need to change. There are paradigm shifts that need to happen. Healthcare is broken in many ways. But there are these pieces of healthcare and nursing that I loved. It's why I became a nurse. And it's why I do what I do now is because I love people and I love making change. But I just got stuck in that vortex. And it reminded me of why I can almost rebrand and feel not this imposter syndrome about teaching other entrepreneurs or leaders on how it is important to go back, to move forward, and change those patterns because they're just going to keep following us. And it took me all this time to like have that moment in time where I like connected those dots. And it is so true. And I think sometimes we are running away. But if we don't dig a little deeper and be embodied in whatever we're doing, and that's the difference. It's less doing, more understanding, more listening, and more taking care of ourselves and being responsible to then lead our teams. Whether it's our clients or our teams in healthcare, listening, not just doing, not just reacting.
So if we are, let's put ourselves back in time, because I know we're both out of the roles that we used to be in the hospital. If we put ourselves back to wherever we were a decade ago, and we're still feeling the depths of the burnout. I know for you, it was being very overworked and very long hours and way too much responsibility. If we're not blaming the system, if we're not looking around at all the ways that healthcare is broken, what are the actual tangible ways that we can begin to look elsewhere so that we're growing rather than just staying in that cycle and in that loop?
I think the way that I see it and feel it is that when I was stuck in that cycle, I was not growing. I was just working. And if I'm honest with myself, yes, there was expectations put on me to fulfill my role as a director, as a manager, especially as a manager, that was probably the hardest role. But those some were self-inflicted from my old patterning of needing to achieve, to be validated, to feel worthy, right? And that was a hard thing for me to look at. But if I look really and just be responsible for me versus the system, it starts with the tangible thing started with me. You know, I've talked about this, that I feel like the collective is what started the change for me. I obviously felt something, which is why the collective came into my realm. And then I went on this whole other journey. But it starts with me. Like, I can't change the system without changing my internal compass, I say, my nervous system, my operating system. So people understand, like, we know all about computers and operating systems of our phones. My operating system was a little bit not broken. It was not, I really didn't understand it. And so the more that I change that, the more that I understand that, I don't want to say change, the more I understand my own operating system, then I can know how to show up. And the reality was, yeah, I was really good. I felt like I was good at my job and I did listen, but I also tried to fix everything. And one person can't fix everything. I don't know that we should want to be the fixers more than we want to just learn about ourselves so that we understand other people. And so how does that tangibly start with just starting to take care of ourselves in very small ways and stop making excuses, honestly, and this may not resonate with people, but we make a lot of excuses on why we can't do things, why we can't take care of ourselves. And I mean self-care more than getting our nails done or getting a massage. I mean really looking inward so that we can then look outward. And it may sound very like mystical and spiritual, but I think it's basic. It's looking at our learning about our own operating systems, our own nervous system, and how is that affecting us in our workplace? Because I can look back now and see how it was affecting me. I know it was, even though I was good at my job. And it burnt me out.
And how do we do that, Sally, without then switching that blame to a place of self-blame, right? Because at least if we're blaming the system and we're blaming, you know, management, which doesn't work for you because you were management, but management or the hospital system itself or healthcare in general, like if we're blaming those things, at least we feel like, well, I'm doing the best I can in a system that's not setting me up to do better. But if we progress towards also considering this side, which is that I have to turn things around, I have to look inward, I have to be doing my own work to take care of myself, then how do we avoid that trap of like, well, I'm feeling burnt out because I'm not doing a good enough job. I'm not meditating enough. I'm not eating healthy enough. I'm not exercising enough. I'm trapped in my own mindsets of being a people pleaser and needing to fix anything. And that then too can really burn us out when we get stuck in our own inner voices.
100%. What I have found, especially recently, I would say in the last year, is just micro shifts, little tiny changes. We want to go for these big changes. I quit my job. I like put it all into a business. You know, those are big changes. I'm not saying we can't do that, but I am saying what I found is the most sustainable is small shifts. Small shifts of learning and reframing it as like, and not about beating ourselves up, right? It's about understanding ourselves. And that's why I started calling it like our operating system. It's our nervous system, right? But sometimes that even scares people off. Like, how are we operating? Our computer has to operate a certain way. Our phone operates a certain way. It has to be plugged back in. So we need to do things for ourselves. And maybe they're small. Maybe, you know, someone starts with like me. I started with a collective. When I started with a collective, it wasn't this, yes, that's a big shift, but it also just brought things into my mind's eye of like, oh, things can be different. It started with a small little bit of meditation. It wasn't like you need to meditate for an hour every morning, right? I don't know if that's always the answer. That works for some, but it's just creating small shifts and being aware that there is this piece of our own responsibility and how we show up in the world. And I feel like the minute we stop blaming others and not blame ourselves, just be more responsible for how my patterns are my patterns, right? They're not necessarily, I can see now, they're not necessarily my fault. Generationally, we can get into that, right? I was raised by emotionally unintelligent parents that did the best they could. I love them, but you know, so then I had patterns. We're not gonna find that for everybody overnight, but I do believe that small shifts of mindfulness, small shifts in meditation, small shifts of learning to be more present, learning to journal, you know, it's not one thing. And the other thing I've learned across this journey, it's not a one size fits all. Like I love breath work. I think that is magical and it's the bridge to a lot. But I also realize I have clients that cannot do breath work. Their nervous system just can't get them there yet. So we have to address them differently, right? Until they're there. So it's about these small steps that we can start to take. And I believe the first one is just awareness. It isn't about blame. It isn't about anger. It's easier to be angry at the system. It's easier to be angry at my boss. It's easier to be angry at the CEO of my healthcare system or pharmaceuticals. I could go on and on about people I've been angry with, but that takes a lot of energy. And so the more that I have learned to grow, because in my role at the hospital, I didn't grow. Because I felt like I didn't have the space to grow. Now in this role, I feel like I've had some perspective and I've allowed myself this place to grow and learn about myself, which then in turn lets me learn about others and how others want to be treated and how listening is more important than fixing sometimes.
I think it's important for nurses to remember, like, anger and blame, those aren't bad things to feel. They can feel not great to feel them, but the important follow-up question is like, so then what? So then what do we do with those feelings? And how do we allow them to manifest within us, within our bodies, within our well-being? And is there a way to reframe them? You know, from working with us at the Nurse Coach Collective, like, we do see that healthcare is broken. And that's beautiful, because anytime something is broken, we have this incredible opportunity to lean in and find the space for healing and find the space for growth. So it's almost like you have to do that on those mini micro levels, as you're saying, which really is a great parallel to like what we do with our clients all the time. How often have you had a client, Sally, who comes to you and is like, okay, these are the big goals that I have. These are the huge, lofty changes that I want to make. And for some reason, I've been wanting these big goals for the last 3 years, but I haven't made progress. And what we then get to do with them is say, great, your goals are beautiful. They have stuck with you for 3 years. That's how we know that you really want them. Now let's break them down. Now let's break them down into those micro changes so you can actually be successful there.
You know, I'm working with a client right now. It just comes to light because I had a call with her this morning, and I do all this deep-rooted inner child healing, you know, work. But sometimes that's not for everybody. So I have been working with her for, I don't know, a year and a half now. She's an executive. And there was a time where I was making it about me, like, oh, this is the work I do and why am I not fitting in. And then when I got out of my own head, honestly, about this isn't about me, it's about meeting her where she is. And she just needs to come to me and reflect, because she doesn't have a place to do that. And I'm like her mirror for that. And some may say, well, she's been with you for so long. Like, are you actually doing? But she has made so many changes. But we've done it in this way that is slow, methodical, and meets her where she is, because she has a lot of stress, right? So meeting people exactly where they are. And sometimes we live in this society, right, where we want everything done. We want the dopamine hit. We want the fix. We want to go to someone for a 6-week course and be like fixed. But that's not the reality, right? Like, this has been a slow burn even for me. Like, I was in Collective 7, right? I've been at this for a while. And I just think it isn't about blame. And it's okay to be angry. I 100% agree, because what I teach people is we want to feel our feelings. We don't want to suppress them. So yeah, I have addiction in my family. So yeah, I'm still angry at the pharmaceutical companies, right? I'm still angry at them. But what I've learned to do is like, yes, I felt my anger and I am putting it in a way of what can we do to improve things? How can I be part of the change versus just blaming? And that's a big shift that has to happen, because you're right. When the system is broken, as we know it is, because it's being run by a very old paradigm, in my opinion, of just push and not listening to the people that really know the best, the people that are on the front lines, they know what patients need. Like, they know what patients are asking them for. But it takes time. Like, it takes time. And we all have to be aware of what our part in the puzzle is, because we are all part of it. It's life. It's the hospital system. It's life. I mean, look what's happening around, without getting into that. I mean, it's a big shift and we need to be part of the change. I truly feel that now.
You work with leaders. You work with visionaries. Do you work with anyone who's in the hospital world in roles like you were in, you know, DONs, managers, leaders? Has that come up for you?
It hasn't recently, to be honest, but it has. And creating this space for them, I think sometimes the space just needs to be created for them to be heard, and allowing that blame to kind of go out and almost run its course. And then for them to realize what's going to change after that. And I think we're going to see more of this as things are shifting within the hospital frameworks. I mean, I would love to see nurse coaches, you know, people have, you know, and I haven't done a lot of corporate work. I just started doing some corporate work. It wasn't really on my foresight of doing corporate work, but I have a corporate client right now, which is not healthcare. But what I am seeing is bringing people together in community in a corporate world. I did a 3-part workshop. I did part two. Part three is next month. And it's been eye-opening even for me to see what happens when we bring people together and give them a voice that's healthy and an understanding of how to, you know, it was really a nervous system workshop for a power authority company. And the shifts that have happened within the company already have been phenomenal. So imagine in healthcare, and I know it's happening because people have to feel okay to speak up also.
It is happening and it continues to be so incredibly needed. So I want to come back to that actually, because I want to hear more about your retreats and the spaces that you create. And you touched on it, which is that connection piece, because I know that's so important for you. However, before I inquire further about that, I want to dig deeper into the fact that you have this unique perspective as somebody who came from the director of nursing, the management world. And something that we hear from a lot of the new nurses who come into this space is like one of their biggest complaints, their biggest points of blame is like, well, management doesn't support me, or I have this vision for how I want to bring this to my hospital, but I already know that management won't support me. So there's like this real disconnect that I personally, I have worked with enough DONs, managers, leaders in all different hospitals all across the country. I personally don't believe that there is a true at the heart of things disconnect. I think anybody who's laid foot in the nursing world, laid eyes on the nursing world, we mostly want the same things and want this to improve in the same ways. But there is that lack of connection or the hierarchical disconnect there that happens. What comes up for you around that? Like, what do you think the general sentiment is if from the leaders, from the DONs who are also kind of stuck inside of that system? Do you think they're like, well, I'm making mine and I'm at the top, so it's all good? Or do you think they're also really wanting to be a part of this movement that is changing and innovating healthcare?
I think that they want to be part of the movement. I think anybody that has gone into nursing, for the most of us, you know, there was this desire to help people, right? I think some people go into nursing. I never thought I would be a director of nursing. That was not my trajectory to be in management. Just kind of worked that way. That was never even in my eyesight, like of moving up the ladder. And I think that you can, like some people, yes, it was their trajectory, but some no. And I think at the heart of it, people want to take care of patients, right? But there's this piece above us, you know, that is like, you know, money. Right. And how much money is there? And from my organization, I just remember my CFO, like, if it's not getting reimbursed, then we're not putting money into it. And where I feel the short-sightedness is that we pay a lot of companies to come in, a lot of money to change culture. And culture is pretty simple. People want to be seen and heard and cared for. So that's whether that's the patient in the bed, whether that's the nurse at the bedside, the nurse tech, the nurse's aide, whatever we want to call it, the physical therapist, who's ever there working with the patients, right? And the manager, we forget. I remember someone telling me, my CNO telling me when we were trying to bring coaching in at one point, well, the managers don't need this. And I was like, they are the people that need it first. Because if we don't recognize where we can lean in more and listen more and see how we're showing up, how would we teach the people at the bedside? Like, we have to learn. So I think the problem is that it's healthcare, especially, is run by a pretty old paradigm. Do more, work more. And listening wasn't the forte of my organization. Listening, it was, this is the way it's been done. This is the way we do it. And we have to fix, you know, the Press-Ganey scores. We have to fix the patient satisfactions. Okay, well, we have to have a happy people that have the same vision. And we have to listen to them, because sometimes they know. No, they can't have all the answers because they're, you know, doing their thing. And we know some things, but we have to work together. And I feel like that's been the missing piece. It's the connection of understanding and being on the same page, honestly. Like, why are we all doing this? People come into the hospital, and just talking about healthcare alone, people come into the hospital, they're at their most vulnerable point. If you've ever been a patient, and if you haven't been a patient, you know, I've always thought, like, I want to put people in a bed for 12 hours and only let them have their needs met by a call light. Because if you've never been a patient, that is them and put you in a gown, a dress. Like it's
well, that opens in the back.
That opens in the back and then have people like chatting about their night out last night at the desk, then you can hear them. So that doesn't make people feel seen and heard. And then the employees don't feel seen and heard. And then it just goes up the chain. And I think the disconnect for me is that people at the top don't understand even what they don't understand. How that was opened for me when I went into the collective was I already knew there was a disconnect, but I didn't even understand like what the disconnect was. And the collective honestly helped me start to be like, oh, there is a different way. And the reason I talk about is my own journey is because then I started my own journey, which honestly, I have to say, I just in the last year feel like, oh, I could go back and make a difference. I'm probably at this stage not going back into healthcare, but to consult or something. I can see it clearly now. Now, everybody doesn't take as long as me. Everybody has different stuff. But I think that's the disconnect. They don't even know what they don't know.
Well, I think it does take a long time. I mean, Peter tells his story of like being in different areas of healthcare and working in hospitals all across the country, right? Literally laying eyes on the inner workings of everything. And it took over 10 years to even like see that something is wrong, let alone then another 10 years to figure out like, oh, but here's what I can do about it, both internally. You do that work first, right? So that's another 10 years. And then the next 10 years is you can finally go back and do something to help improve it for others or maybe on that systemic level. So yes, no, of course, it doesn't always take that long, but sometimes it does. And that's okay. Everybody is unique. Everybody's on their own timeline. It takes the time that it's going to take. But I love what you said about, you know, there's just this underlying people want to be seen and heard and cared for. And I can already imagine, like, if every person listening to this episode, the only takeaway is that they go through the rest of their day with that mantra and remembering this person who just said something that super pissed me off, or, oh, I just called my mom and again, they nagged me about the same thing, right? Or my kid is just really getting on my nerves today. People want to be seen and heard and cared for. And when we just remember that, it makes it so much easier to take that breath, to slow down, to be present when we are pissing ourselves off, right? And being our own worst enemy, to remember like, I just want to be seen. I want to be heard. I want to be cared for. So who can do that for me? Is there somebody around me that can give that to me? And if not, how can I give that to myself in this moment?
It's like a guidance counselor at school, right? Where some kids go in more, some kids go in less. So to me, like a nurse coach, who is going to understand more about healthcare than the most prized possession, the most trusted person, right? A nurse. And then you give them this skill set to understand themselves more and then understand others. Once you understand yourself and you start more accepting yourself, you'd really start to understand others more and your own projections and all the shit that happens, right? And so how to improve? Can you imagine? Like if people just had that person versus like the wellness, you know, where you have to go out to the appointment and, you know, hospitals provide that employee assistance, right? But if there was something inside that people could come into, and I know that it's happening at places, there's integrative medicine, there's rooms, but you have to get buy-in. You have to get a pretty forward-thinking C-suite and board to buy into that. But the bottom line, yeah, you don't bill for it, but if that was really happening to me, I've said this for years, the bottom line would change so much because the patient satisfaction, you would stop paying companies billions of dollars to come in. I noticed from my own organization how many times different companies came in to change culture. And when we were having these meetings in the morning, the huddles and the C-suite would come and be on their phones. They weren't connecting with the staff. So yes, it was a checkoff on a paper. C-suite comes out, we huddle. And I'm not judging, I'm just stating a fact. But if they're not saying hello and they're not looking up and they're not engaged in what's happening and learning about their people, then it really is a waste of time. We're not changing culture because culture is about connection, about people feeling seen and heard and feeling like we're in this together. And that to me is the biggest thing. And I feel like I started to shift when I, again, going back to the collective was a starting point for me. I already knew that there was something off. We talked about this on our initial call. And then I've had to dig deep for like the last 3 years into my own stuff while I've been growing. And that's okay. Like the small shifts are okay. When I gave up learning that I had to, it doesn't have to be a big shift and I don't have to have a multi-million dollar business in the first year. Some people, yeah, are really lucky with that. And others, this is part of like the whole journey. And shifting healthcare is not going to happen overnight. But the more that we individually make our own understanding of ourselves and we can bring that into the table, I feel hopeful, which I think is important. I feel hopeful for healthcare, even though I'm not in that mix, but I am dealing with people that are part of the mix. And I think that's what we have to remember. It is about connection and understanding and less judgment, but it is okay to be angry at the system. I've been angry at the system and people above me. I've had some like bad experiences when I decided to leave and when I took time off because of my own mental health, because I was so stressed out. So yeah, I had anger around that, but I had to eventually let that go and understand and process like what that really was.
Well, I'm glad you feel hopeful in this moment. I feel hopeful too. I mean, that's why I do this work. If I didn't feel hopeful, then this work would be really hard to do. But the longer I do it, the more hopeful I become, because the more nurse coaches I see who are doing this incredible work for themselves, for the individual clients who they get to serve, for the whole communities and populations they get to serve. And so many of them, Sally, I think when you graduated, you probably didn't have that many peers who were at that point able to like take everything, bring it back to the hospital, create these awesome programs inside of the system. Now we're living in a totally different world where it's like any nurse coach who graduates from the collective and is passionate about staying inside of the system, starting a nurse coaching program, whether they're working with patients or nurses or management or the doctors, right? You name it. We've now got nurse coaches who are doing that, not just at their unit, not just at their hospital, but sometimes like hospital system wide. We have nurse coach graduates who have now like 15 to 20 hospitals under their belt where they have these programs embedded. So there's so much reason to be hopeful. There's so much reason to be hopeful. And it doesn't have to be your job to get back in there and do it all unless you want it to. But we get to know how cool it is that there are so many nurse coaches who are out there doing that work and bringing it back to the system.
Right. Listen, I always felt, and I talked to you about this, it was a movement, right? So how do we fix nursing, right? That was the question. Like, how do we fix healthcare? And nurses are a big part. Like, we're not all of healthcare, but we are a big part, especially in the hospital systems. And so the more that those individuals heal, even if they don't know that's what they need to do, and I feel like this is the springboard for that, when we get into the collective, so many people start doing their own work, have their own journeys, their own awareness. And then that's why, and yes, it didn't happen overnight, but the shift is here. There's a definite shift energetically. It's just happening. And it is happening. Like, you're aware. I see what's happening. It's happening. We don't all have to go back into the hospital systems. That's okay. Also, both can be true. And I think we've lived in a world where it's very black and white. Like, so if I'm going to go in there, then I have to have my own business. And that was kind of told to us in some instances. Like, you have to go all in and have your own business. But I never believed that's what it was. I got sucked into that a little. But it's beautiful to watch that it doesn't have to be that way, right? It can be whatever you want it to be. And the more you understand where your passion lies, the more that you can do whatever it is and find your gifts as you heal yourself and then you heal the collective. And that's what nurse coaches are doing. I've always felt right from the beginning when I didn't even know what it meant, it was a mission. And I feel like mission is being, it's happening. You're like, you're seeing it. Things are shifting. Things are changing. It is hopeful because I think 10 years from now, we're going to be looking back and just think about that first and second and third, even the seventh collective. It was so new. People are like, what are you doing? And what you've started, it's part of a movement. And each nurse that makes this decision, whether they decide to be an entrepreneur or not, I've chose one path, but they can do whatever they want. And if they do nothing with it, but just learn a little mindfulness, it is so worth it. Because their life.
Yeah. So come join the movement, right, Sally?
No, I know. I like, out there. No one can say this, but it is a movement. And I think that like everybody should experiences. If for me, it was a part of the life-changing moments for me. And I'm leaving for Costa Rica on Friday. I run immersions. I run immersions with my clients. I run retreats. And I have been getting a little more corporate like pull in the sense of like, I don't know, am I supposed to go back into healthcare? Could I run retreats for C-suite people that are, you know, because there is a shift. People are getting a little curious. Things are shifting. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my way back in at some point. I'm not really sure. I'm just more open to like where my business takes me, because sometimes getting out of that and getting perspective, and we need the C-suite people to shift also so that they're the ones that can ask for the money and know how to, you know, give the money into the organizations so that we maybe have nurse coaches or we have more availability for holistic practices for the patients, for the nurses, yeah, for the staff.
Yeah.
Right. So I think however people choose, I think the first step is like, this is not some fly by night thing. You know, it is a movement and it's been an integral part of my life journey and shift.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that we get to be a part of it together, because you know what I always say, it's just like every nurse makes this movement more powerful and truly is an integral part in pushing this forward. Okay, Sally, I want to pivot for a moment and make sure that we have time for you to talk to me about, like, so you've gone on this journey, you've had this evolution of self. It started at the collective and you've gone on to incorporate all kinds of other great stuff, from breath work to energy work to somatic work. And now you're doing what a lot of nurses who enter into this field like dream of, but they're like, is it really possible? Could I really do this? And that's things like leveraging the power of connection to run retreats, to create sisterhood, the safe spaces. So I believe that is part of your practice, both nationally and internationally, right? You mentioned you've got that coming up. What does your nurse coaching practice actually entail now?
Yeah. So I do one-on-one work and I really take people to the root of what their blocks are. And just recently in the last year, I've done a little rebrand, because we can shift and we can decide like who we want to help and who we want to mentor. And for a while, I had a lot of imposter syndrome about helping other coaches or entrepreneurs. But in my own evolution, I know the problems that we come up against when we're leaving a place where we're told what to do all the time. And now we're going to this place where we can make all our own decisions. And that can be scary and as a young, new entrepreneur. So bringing people together, and I'm actually have a mastermind right now going with entrepreneurs, some nurse coaches, some other entrepreneurs. And it's amazing to have them together, because when people have this same vision of what they're trying to build, it's beautiful. But so I do group programs. I do a lot of inner child and work around where the root of like what our problems are with moving forward, even making a decision about whether we sign up for the collective or whatever. And then I found that connection is a big piece. I had a podcast called The Connection Project, which is getting ready to be rebooted a little bit differently. Just talking to people about what can we do differently and how can we look at how we've come through this world with our own patterns and how we can change those patterns and not bring the same stuff into this world. So I do a lot of deep hypno breath work. Breath work to me is the bridge to everything. And then I got into retreats and immersions. I do one-on-one immersions with my clients where I go to them, rent an Airbnb and work with them, you know, for a full weekend, kind of like VIP days, but with a little bit deeper work. And the retreat business, listen, I love the retreats. I'm leaving for Costa Rica. This is my first leadership retreat, bringing women together in a way that feels really safe. Because what I have found, again, as we evolve in this whole process, what I have found is I have been in some places that didn't feel safe. Some of it was my stuff, honestly, Heather, but some was people were creating containers that didn't feel so safe, right? I had to meet their criteria. And so that has been a big thing for me. And then deciding the difference, is this my stuff I'm bringing in here? Or is this container really just feels very performative, very much like how much money you're making? And that's how successful you are. And this journey to me is not about that. Yes, successful abundance for money is great. But
I think I know exactly what you're alluding to. So yeah, yeah, understood.
I am wanting to create spaces this week away in Costa Rica. I have facilitators coming. I'm giving some of the roles to other people, letting them shine, newer facilitators. And I have to learn how to create more space. And I want everyone to feel safe and not performative. I think we can get stuck in that in this role as new entrepreneurs. And I've seen that. So I have been learning to create spaces that feel good, allow people to embrace their creativity, that I was a person that didn't even feel I was creative. And now I'm creating retreats in Peru, in Costa Rica, internationally, giving women this ability to learn about their sister wounds and why they have trouble with other strong women, right? Some of this stuff we have to deal with, but some is just creating spaces that feel really good. And that's from my own experiences, because just because we're in this field of coaching, entrepreneur work, all of this, again, we can bring our same stuff with us if we don't address how we're showing up. And creating safe spaces for people that feels really good for them so they can be authentically themselves, because this journey looks different for everybody, and how you show up as a nurse coach looks different for everybody, whether it's in the hospital, your own career. But again, we want people to feel safe. I think that's another piece that we didn't talk about. People want to feel seen and heard. The thing that they don't even know that they want, I didn't know this, is I needed some internal safety to feel like I could be seen and heard. And we have to establish that for them. And it's almost like difficult for them to see, right? Like they were like, oh, I feel safe with you. I hired you. But there's this internal piece that doesn't feel safe. And that takes a while to get to. But it is something I have experienced in this business. And I really am trying really hard to create spaces that don't have people feel like that. Obviously, you can't control everything.
You're right, because I think it does come up, especially for some of our graduates, nurse coaches who maybe want to take things deeper. And there are programs or offerings out there that are really focused on the shiny object, right? Which is earn more money. Here's how we're going to earn more money. To me, that's like the client who comes in and says, diet and exercise, right? So that's the shiny object that they come because it's like the easiest thing to talk about. But then when we do the work with them, we realize there's all of these other underlayers that have to happen in order for diet and exercise to be effective, but also that are far more of a priority once the person really allows themselves to open. So how does that relate is that when we chase things like numbers to earn more money, and as you said, it becomes performative, right? How many clients can we all compete together and get in the next month? And then we have a winner and. Well, the problem with that is that then the sole focus of how we are creating our business and our lives ends up revolving around this one shiny object. And do not get me wrong, finances and being able to support yourself and financial well-being are very important. I want that for every single nurse coach to be able to earn as much as you can. And I highly believe that is possible inside of this field. But when people ask, like, how is the Nurse Coach Collective different from XYZ programs that are out there? One of the biggest things that I always say is because it's our goal to help you create success, freedom on your terms. And that always has to be looked at holistically. So if, you know, reaching this financial threshold is in there, then beautiful, we will aim for that. But how do you want to get there? Who do you want to serve? How do you want to feel about those people that you're serving? What type of environment do you want to work with? You don't want to work with 10 clients who are just willing to pay you just and draining your soul, right? If you're called to creating retreats and going to Costa Rica and going to Peru, right? Then those are the things that we want to help you be successful in doing. So I thank you for speaking to that, because I think it's something that's not like really easy to dissect that difference, but you and your whole journey really beautifully demonstrates the importance of getting back to self, seeing, hearing, caring for yourself, feeling safe with yourself to be able to then be authentic. How you create your practice is in alignment with what works for you, not what works for somebody else.
You know, I'm not running a mastermind for new entrepreneurs or visionaries on visibility with just a simple framework, and which I know that's like what we're supposed to do and all the things, right? But I base it off of who signs up with me, who's drawn to me, and then the group, like the dynamic of the group, because I've been in so many programs where it's just like A to Z, and then you have to fit in the molds. And what I saw for myself was you have a lot of patterns, especially if you're in a group for 6 months or a year, your patterns show up, right? And that can make you then again feel very shameful of like, why am I not doing that? Like, why am I not there? Why am I? And competition is great. I'm not saying we shouldn't be competitive or that we shouldn't have accountability or we shouldn't have goals, because you to move forward, you do have to get uncomfortable. But my whole practice is about embodying the uncomfortableness, feeling out where it is, and then growing our capacity. My capacity may grow different than yours. You may be in a different trajectory and your capacity may grow very quickly. But I need the coach to understand, or the mentor to understand, the facilitator to understand that, you know, the eight people in my group, the capacity is very different. And it's my job to then help them through their own capacity. And I speak that very openly in the beginning. Everybody may not get what they need out of this, what they thought, right? Usually what you think you're going to get out of something like this when you start to do the deep work is totally different. And I just name that up front. And we want to grow the way our nervous system will allow us to grow. And that is going to be different for everybody in the group. Everybody isn't going to make, you know, six figures and all this stuff. That's kind of bullshit, if I can say that. It's bullshit. And becoming, changing and shifting and pivoting is freaking hard. And we in nursing were told what to do. Even as a director, I was pretty much told what to do, definitely as a manager. And now I have to think for myself. That alone is a whole different ball game. And we need to support people in that shift so that they can grow and know, oh my God, I make my own decisions. And that can be scary for someone's nervous system if they've never made their own decisions. That's been a big piece of me going into this embodied leadership role and deciding that I can coach in a little bit of a different way. And it is all about the nervous system and the capacity and being aware of each of my clients and where they're at. And then helping them understand, even in the retreat space, right? Everybody that comes in, there's always a little nerves on my part because everybody's a little different. Some people have experienced me. Some people are new to me. And what vulnerability looks like for people's nervous system is very different. Just like the stuff we did in the last retreat we did a lot of real vulnerable stuff in the retreat for the Nurse Coach Collective, right? And everybody's nervous system is different. So finding that integration period and not having it be so performative, I think as a place, we're missing the mark even in the coaching world. And it's the same in the hospital world. We have to meet people where they are to an extent.
To all of our listeners, if you have your interest piqued right now, if you want to learn more about breath work, about somatic work, about nervous system work, if you're inspired by the idea of running retreats, both national and international, joining retreats, having deeper connections, check out Sally Davidson and please learn more about the incredible work that she's done and is doing. We will drop links to all of your stuff inside of the show notes, Sally. And such an honor to get to have you here for the second time. Let's do it again. Let's do it again a year from now, and we'll see what's changed and where you are.
Thank you so much, Heather. I'm always so appreciative to be here and to talk to the community. And I always thought this was a gift. We were all chosen to make this shift. And I still 100% believe that and appreciate all that you guys are doing.
Awesome. Thank you, Sally. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, head on over to nursecoachcollective.com, where you can start your journey to becoming a nurse coach and get in on the most transformative specialty in nursing.
Create more freedom and fulfillment in your career and connect with some of the coolest nurses on the planet. We've got our free training and tons of resources to help you get started. So go to nursecoachcollective.com.
That's nursecoachcollective.com.